It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two of an SOB edition of Primetime. No Rop today. Suk, Ortner, and Buckley here with you as we get ready for the first college football weekend of the year. Kind of not really. We'll talk with Joey Harrington a little bit coming up about it later, but it's a little bit of a tease.
It's a terrible weekend of football.
It's kind of a dumb tease.
It's awful.
I liked it when they Is it just me or when they started doing the 0 week?
Yeah.
They initially started by putting actual games that we cared about.
There was at least a couple on there that were pretty good. I mean, honestly, the best game is Florida State, Georgia Tech, and that's not a good game.
It's like a 10.5 point spread. Yeah. It's at 9 a.m. our time, or is it 6 a.m. our time?
I thought it was 6.
It might be 6.
I thought it was 9.
No, 9 a.m. Pacific. I thought it was 9 Eastern, but no.
5 their time.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Pacific time. So, I mean, it gives you something to watch, but, I mean, if Florida State and Georgia Tech is the best thing that's going, I'm sorry, it's a bad weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, the rest of it, I mean, I'll pull up the full schedule, but like
you get SMU, Nevada,
teams you've never heard of,
and you get like
Montana State. Come on now, okay. They're taking on the Lobos.
Okay. Montana State, yes, and the Bronco. Yeah, Montana State, New Mexico, SMU, Nevada, and Delaware State and Hawaii.
You know, Dusty was trying to tout that fever. Montana State game earlier today, and I respect the hell out of you, small school football bros, but. And no shade to the Montana State. What are they, the Bobcats or the Grizz? Which one are they?
They are the Bobcats. Okay. They are big college football to Dusty and I, just so you know. That's big time college football.
By the way, Hawaii in that Delaware State game, have you seen? Now, I know nothing about Hawaii. I know nothing about Delaware State.
To Timmy Chang's.
Yeah.
The fight Timmy Chang's.
Have you seen the line on that game?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Delaware State is one of the worst teams in college football.
Because Hawaii sucks.
Well, the one thing I saw about this game, I saw that Delaware, after travel issues and experiencing they missed their 10.5-hour flight, so they might not even get all their players. I don't know how that's possible, but okay, let me guess at the spread. I will say 44.5.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. Yeah, it's 40.5.
Wow.
Yeah. When's the last time Hawaii, by the way, has been favored by 20 over anyone, let alone 40?
Yeah.
How bad is Delaware State?
They're the worst team in FCS. They average less than 20 points a game. They're horrible.
Oh, man.
I didn't know it was possible for Hawaii. And by the way, to say that Hawaii is getting better, dude.
They are. They won more games last year than the year before.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's getting better.
They won 5 games.
They won 3 the year before. That's getting better.
And by the way,
fact or fiction,
their wins are Albany, New Mexico State by 3.
Hey, when you beat the Great Danes of Albany, that means something.
When Nevada and Air Force stop it.
Win's a win.
Service Academy win.
Oregon beat our heroes. Oregon beat them 55-10.
Well, I mean, they're not a measuring stick game.
Nevada beat them 44-2, or UNLV beat them 44-20. Stop it.
They're improving.
New Mexico beat them by 3 touchdowns. And San Jose State beat them 35-0. Stop it. And yet they're favored by 40 points.
They're going to make a bowl game this year.
No.
Well, there won't be much to watch in the way of college football this weekend. There also won't be much to watch in the way of NFL because it's the final preseason weekend, right? Yeah. So it's like we're going to get the...
Yeah, it's a weird mix. I've heard some people are playing some players. I mean, last night we saw, I mean, the Colts ran.
Richardson played.
I mean, so it's a hodgepodge.
Russell Wilson's going to play again this weekend.
Yeah, he said he's going to start.
But I mean, there's not a lot to be excited about. I'm more excited about looking forward to week one and the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start somewhere with one of last year's upstarts, and that is the Houston Texans.
Who are now a darling. I've seen a lot of people think they're going to the Super Bowl.
It's crazy how much love they're getting. The last time I checked, and I don't know if this is still the case, they had the fourth best odds of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, the year before, I think they had one of the three lowest win total projections in NFL. I think it was like 3.5 last year, and then they win 10 games, 11 games.
Yeah.
But they have unveiled some new art and branding in their workout facility. And
this is fantastic.
So they brought in legendary and famed noted gym bro, J.J. Watt, to tour the facilities and check it all out. And he posted a cool shot of the new weight room. And then when people started zooming in on the walls, they realized, wait, what? What does that say? Does that say swinge? No, what it says is swarm in all caps. And you're like, okay, cool. Like that'll be a cool acronym. And then what you get is swarm stands for special work ethic, relentless mindset.
Yeah, that's not
swarm. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Until you realize the words and letters don't add up. That, if you abbreviate it to an acronym, would be SWIRM.
SWIRM. Hey, the Texans need a rallying cry, and so who doesn't want to swarm with the Texans? I love when people do this.
It's going to be their rallying cry this season on the internet, among the fan base. There are now people, I guess, Texans defenders essentially saying that, no, they meant to have that the A is actually an and for... And work ethic is one word, so special work ethic and relentless mindset would be swarm. Big time mental gymnastics going on here.
Swarm. They should just lean into it and make swarm t-shirts.
I kind
instead
of agree.
Of swarm. I would. First off, I hate when people do this. I'm a cynical bastard. So the whole like win the day. You know what was do something
yeah,
was another
that was Taggart. Yeah,
douchey one. PLU. They had like every man a loot. I remember I had to go to a football camp there. My stupid coach, my senior, who was a moron, by the way, the worst coach I've ever played for at any level, Eric Bernstein, I'm looking right at you. His was MOC, Making of Champions. Oh. I knew a kid, by the way, who got an MOC tattoo.
Oh, nice.
God, it was like the equivalent of live, laugh, love. So these things just never... I just was never a fan of them. They're so cheesy. But Swarm, I could get behind Swarm.
I like Swarm. I want some Swarm gear.
If you told me that you gave me a shirt with a Texas logo on it that had some Swarm on it, let's go. Swarm away, you magnificent sons of bitches.
But so this gives us a decent jumping off point into this year's NFL season, because the Texans were the team that nobody really saw coming last season. And I feel like every year we look at the schedules, we look at the odds, we look at the divisions, and I don't want to say we expect chalk, but we almost expect the same things to repeat.
And there's usually a worst to first. We got about a half turnover every year in...
I think you usually have 3 to 4 new playoff teams that weren't in before and 3 or 4 that drop out.
Yeah, there's usually it's somewhere around a 50% turnover, and there's almost always a worst to first. So I mean the NFL surprises, you know, whether it's injuries, I mean, or again, no one saw CJ Stroud coming in and breaking rookie records because without that, then we're not talking about the Houston Texans the same way.
And so I mean, at the risk of just calling your shot here, based on what teams have done in the offseason, through the draft, through acquisitions, and just what they've been building, are there teams that last year were outside and not there yet that you could see making a breakthrough because of what they've done in between the end of last season and now?
I mean, sure. I mean, the easiest one for me, and I don't think it's a big one. I mean, they finished last in their division last year, and it's the Chicago Bears. Like, the Chicago Bears can win a Super Bowl. They just can.
Mm-hmm.
If Caleb Williams plays at a high level, and look, that's asking a lot, because rookie quarterbacks, although CJ Stroud played really well last year, they got drubbed in the playoffs by the Ravens. But if Caleb Williams is as advertised, and Caleb Williams has a season where he is a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, the Bears have an elite roster.
They have a really good roster.
They have a really good roster. They have a great secondary. They've got pass rushers. They're young. They're deep. They have an improved O-line. They have as good a weapons as any offense in the NFL, and I mean that. Look through their offensive weapons.
Yeah,
I mean there is a ton to like there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can make the question: is Eberflus a great coach? But you know, did we know that D'Amico Ryans was going to be a great coach?
Right.
And with all the crap that the Bears went through last year, they won 7 games.
Yeah, that's a little bit like the Jets, where yes. like you're like, oh, they were terrible. They had Zach Wilson starting. It's like, those teams that people thought were dog mess, they actually kind of were able to keep afloat. And if they have the real guy under center, that's a huge candidate for popping.
Yes. So that's the easiest one. But I kind of feel like that's a little cheating because don't we all think that the Bears could be pretty good?
Could be a quarterback away at any time.
Well, and that's, I mean, honestly, that's a lot of teams that are a quarterback away. That if you get good quarterback play, you could pop. So if you want to go like a little deeper than that, I'll go with this one too. And I think it's one. I'll go two different ways. The first one would be a team that is good and that I've seen everyone saying that they're going to fall off, and that's the Buffalo Bills.
Okay,
I'm sorry, but the receiver thing is the biggest load of crap in the NFL. We've been sold the bill of goods. I listen to certain national programs, and I swear to God, they act like if you get one receiver, it's like, oh, we got a receiver. We got a receiver. Who are they going to throw the ball to? As if, like, NFL receivers... like don't come from out of nowhere. As if NFL receivers, like getting Tyreek Hill is the best receiver in football. And you know what he's meant for the Miami Dolphins? Getting your ass kicked in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
And last time I checked, there's been a lot of really good teams that make deep runs in the playoffs and win Super Bowls without elite wide receivers. And yes, I get the game is trending that way. But like Stephon Diggs leaves the Buffalo Bills and all of a sudden people are like, well, the Bills can't win. There's nothing they can do. The Bills can't win. No, the Bills can win. Like, that is a really, really good football team.
And for a couple reasons. For one, it's not predicated on what Diggs can do that's made them so successful. It's predicated on Josh Allen being able to be a multifaceted threat. Their ability to use their tight ends.
Yes.
Like, their defense. Well, there's a lot there.
I would like to point out that when Tyreek Hill left the Kansas City Chiefs, you had their best offensive player was Travis Kelce. Outside of Travis Kelce, and by the way, last time I checked, they've won, not one, two, right? Two Super Bowls?
Two and been to another.
That's
been to three?
That's pretty good, right? That's pretty successful.
More than one, yeah.
Who's their best offensive player not named Travis Kelce?
Well, Patrick Mahomes.
No, just skill position.
Like Pacheco, maybe?
Yeah, Pacheco or Rice.
Rashee Rice. Speed driving, Rashee Rice.
Anybody? You're telling me that you're telling me that a team won two Super Bowls, and outside of Travis Kelce, who was their tight end, they didn't really have an elite skill player. But that can't happen because if you don't have CeeDee Lamb, because that means so much to the Dallas Cowboys
that they haven't done the deal yet.
If you don't have Justin Jefferson, because he's meant so much to the Minnesota Vikings,
this maybe $30 million wide receiver the Niners are willing to part with, Brandon Ayuk,
that you can't win. I'm it's funny. I didn't know that was a thing. Listening to all the national shows, so you know Buffalo's a team that I've seen people writing off, and I don't get it. I ask why.
For that same reason, I'm a little bit that way about the Chargers. I don't know. Like, you look at their skill position players and you're like, I don't. But Jim Harbaugh shows improvement everywhere he goes. Yeah. They drafted in the trenches. He's going to get more out of his quarterback than Staley got out of him. At least that historically is what he has done as well. And so I don't know who the guys are going to be toting the rock and catching the rock, but I feel like they could be one of those candidates where they make a jump because they've got it figured out in the trenches and they've got the new guy that can lead them there.
And then the two that I will throw out outside of this, and one will be a little bit of a homer pick, and the other one, again, I don't know because I think people are picking them to, I think, to win the division. The Falcons are going to be good.
Yeah.
They just are. I'm telling you, if Kirk Cousins is healed, and again, that's an if. He's coming off an Achilles injury. He's like 35 years old. But if you get Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, that's a 12-win team. Look at their schedule. And I'm telling you, they got better. They got better across the board and added, they have a very, very good secondary. They have a very, very deep secondary. And if you want to look at kind of like something that's important, because we spend so much time talking about wide receivers, corner play to me is more important than wide receivers. It just is. You find teams with good corners, look at what Kansas City did in their secondary. When you have good corners, you have good safeties, you can put the kibosh on good offenses. And they already have one of the best safeties in the game in Jesse Bates, which they got out of Cincinnati. And then they go out and sign Justin Simmons, who, yes, I get it, Justin Simmons coming out of Denver last year had a bit of a down year, but they got him at a steal of a deal. And that's a guy over the last 4 or 5 years has been one of the three or four best safeties in the game. You got A.J. Terrell that you just signed, and he's a solid corner. Is he Sauce Gardner? No, but he's solid. And then you've got two or three other corners because it's no longer just about having one or two corners.
You need the depth there.
They've got depth. And like Clark Phillips is a guy out of Utah that's come along that they like. They've got good depth there. And then you added a guy like Matthew Judon, who's an experienced guy.
Yep.
And then from an offensive standpoint, you like the young offensive line and you like Drake London. You like the tight end situation you got. Mm-hmm. You got a couple good backs. Like there is a lot to like about this Atlanta team, and they play in a bullcrap division.
Yep.
They're going to win 12 games, I would think. They're going to, well, let's say they're going to win 11, right? With the potentially to win 12 if Cousins is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta is going to be good, and they're a team that can sneak up on people. And then if you want another one that no one's talking about, no one, and this one might be a little bit of a flyer, and it maybe is a little bit of a homer pick, I think the Seahawks are going to be better than people think. I really do. Yes, the offensive line needs to get healthy, but you've added some pieces there. When healthy, I do think you have two good tackles. You just added a center finally that's coming off injury that you think is going to solidify that. Looks like you've got some depth at guard, and I think you've got really, really good skill position players. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to have a breakout. You got a couple young receivers they're high on. And I think, again, I love their secondary, and I think there's a lot of depth up front. I don't know about necessarily the linebacking core, but you're bringing over a guy that was viewed as this defensive juggernaut in Baltimore as your head coach that's viewed that people – there's like eight different teams that are switching over in the last 2 years to his defense. He is the guy right now. He is the Sean McVay, where people are looking at him and saying, we want to run this defense. Mm-hmm. Byron Murphy looks like he is an absolute game changer in the middle. And I think that's a very underrated position. And I know that division is tough. And some people are saying Arizona and San Francisco might be the best team in football. The Rams are really good. I think Seattle has a better roster, and that is a meat grinder of a division. But I think Seattle and Geno's a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not elite, but I think Geno is a better than average quarterback, and I think Seattle might be a playoff team this year. With all of their struggles, they're a 9-win team the last, 3 years. They've won 9 games. Mm-hmm. I think this is a team that can win double-digit games and get into the postseason.
All right. Well, we got two more NFL items coming up. One, always read the fine print, how the new Hall of Fame bylaws could affect some coaches, including the former head coach of the Seahawks. And also, what are the kind of gifts that you like to give for a loved one? One NFL gift that I think was pretty smart and that the bros can appreciate. That's coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Going to have some NFL Hall of Fame news coming up a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as Joey Harrington. Coming up next in the news, we'll need to talk about the twisted plans of an already captured Oregon abductor. It's a case we've discussed before now with an update.
Captured abductor?
So, yeah, they got the guy who was trying to kidnap people, but okay. Now we found out more about him more disturbing.
What Danny was up to?
That's right. Danny Meringue.
If someone goes missing in the Newburgh area, you might want to go take a poke around his place.
That's true. But then additionally, we have a Portland chef who is back with their greatest hits. I'll explain that. But before, did you see this?
No, I just, the chef thing. I'm still right.
You're still reeling from the bear. You have a disdain for the whole industry.
Yeah, I'm serious. That show has
you're out on food.
That show has made me hate fine dining. Well, there's a lot.
You were just a Costco elitist, and now you're a man of the people. You can't flip flop back and forth.
I will say, I am a man of the people when it comes to dining. I
not quarter zips.
There are a lot of things in this world that I do not understand. Costco quarter zips are one, and high like the Michelin star bear sort of restaurants, I just do not understand. And I would also like to state that that show sucks. That show was That show was great in season one, and it went downhill in season two, and it crashed into the GD mountain in season three. And the only reason anyone thinks it's good is because it was so good in season one, and no one wants to admit now that it sucks and that everything about it and everything about dining like that is stupid.
I am willing to wager that, one, you are familiar with this chef's food,
okay,
two, that you've had it, and three, that you liked it. Yeah. So we'll see coming all up in the news.
Is it Boyardee?
Almost. Pretty close. No, not exactly. Different cuisine entirely. But did want to get into one thing I saw on interwebs. Will, you were in a wedding recently, right? Your brother's?
I was in my cousin's wedding. My brother's wedding is in about a month.
Were you a groomsman?
I was.
So did you get a groomsman gift?
No, it didn't get to me.
Is that a thing?
Oh. So yes, there was a groomsman gift, and it didn't get to me. They only ordered like 8. There were 12 of us.
Really?
That's a lot
of
groomsmen.
Screwed? You got screwed?
It was Bush League.
What was the gift? Was it anything
good?
It was
a flask, I think, with like initials.
Okay, I was just going to say, what it usually is like a personalized flask, yes, something like that.
So I stole my vest. They're never getting it back.
Nice.
Were you supposed to give the vest back?
Is it a cool
vest? Yeah, I was. And I never got my gift, so my gift
was
is now a stupid vest. I don't know. It ended up... I did not... It
Are
was not a part of my
rental. Are you
going to
wear this vest again?
I would really like to, but people won't let me wear the vest.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Well, this is taking a turn.
I'm confused by everything that's happening here. But all right, so you had 12 grooms and you ordered 8. So
he had 12.
Is he a cheap ass?
No, I just
think Will doesn't need a flask? He drinks enough on his own?
I think planning is not a key part of what my cousin's got going on.
12 groomsmen seems like
a lot.
Well, there were 12 bridesmaids.
Huh? Yeah, it's the whole, like, got a matchy-matchy thing, I guess.
Interesting.
Big family.
But I saw a groomsman gift today on the social medias that I really liked. And this person also had a lot of groomsmen. It looked like maybe 12 or so. But the guy, his name's JP Cadena, said, "I gifted all my groomsmen future bets for their teams to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
They invested in my future. I'm investing in theirs." And so he's got all his boys' favorite team. And whether you are Niners or Seahawks or Packers or whoever, he got you. I mean, it doesn't say what the ticket was, but I love that idea as a gift. It's something different.
Right here.
They all got their tickets, and it's like, you know what? It probably stinks if you're the guy who's holding the Titans ticket or whatever. But
you never know, right? I mean, because that's the best odds, or that would be like the longest odds, like the biggest payout. So I'm assuming it's probably like a $20, $20 bet, whatever you'd maybe $50 if you're doing a little better. $50. I love that. That is a great.
It's not something cheesy you're going to throw away later and never use. It's like you follow it, you ride it, maybe it turns into something, but like it's a nice gesture.
That is a nice gesture. I've only been in like 2 weddings in my entire life, and I don't know if I've ever gotten a groomsman gift.
I got a tie clip for one. That was all the groomsmen wore matching tie clips up there, but then I got what was the other one? It might have been a flask.
No,
flask is a popular one.
I think I've only been in 2 weddings, and I don't believe that there was a. And the Mormons, they don't really do.
They're cheap asses.
Well, yeah, but they don't.
Also, they don't really do drinking.
They don't really do drinking, or I mean, I don't.
That
know.
That doesn't stop you from giving someone a groomsman gift.
Oh no, but you wouldn't do one to promote alcohol.
No,
but you
I
could.
I don't know what a Mormon groomsman gift would be like. I don't know. You get
like anything personalized. I've seen people do like socks or like a monogrammed shirt or something like that. But
I don't know. I think I would probably just. I don't know. I guess like whiskey and cigars is probably like this. It's stuff like that, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's sometimes it's stuff like that. Sometimes it's like a personalized something. Like I have a friend who gave all the groomsmen like embroidered cooler bags they can like take to the golf course or whatever. Like something usable.
We're getting in cufflinks and flasks are played out.
Yeah.
I can see that. I had 2 best men and no others. Deluxe drift boat oars.
Oh,
all right. Well, that's for the one that I fish with, and a genuine ivy cribbage board. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. I play cribbage.
How can they both be best men?
Well, best.
You can't share.
I guess it's best men. It's not best man. Best men.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I think you got to pick one.
But I like the buying futures tickets for occasions. I also heard this year somebody doing that with the Masters. They were holding a Masters party, and at the end of the third round, they bought tickets for like the top 10 guys on the leaderboard, yeah. And then like you show up and you pull them out of a hat when you show up for the party, and then everyone's rooting for somebody that day, and someone walks away a winner.
And by the way, someone asked the ivory. He said he bought it at an antique store. The elephant was already dead.
Oh, okay. I thought you said ivy. Like wood from like an ivy bush.
No, ivory.
Ivory.
He said it was already dead. So
because we love elephants, we're pro elephant on this.
Someone said five groomsmen each of oaky wedges. So that's kind of fun. Cool. Like if you got a golf
cool
thing.
Book.
Yeah.
Got my groomsmen a copy of the Dream Team book. What about porn?
Gifted my old magazine.
He's got like a stack of vintage European porn. Here you go, boys.
Enjoy my spank bank. That one's on the house.
But that's your generation. We're not collecting those anymore.
Yeah, Will's crew is just sharing links with each other. All right, it's time for us to get to In the News. That's coming up next. But first, Ortner has a SportsCenter update.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Keep sending in your best groomsman gift ideas to the Vancouver Ford text line 503-8646-FAN. Some solid ones. We had some knives that were personalized and then got lost on the bachelor party camping trip.
Gave us all custom Gerber knives with our initials engraved. Everyone got drunk and lost them. All right. And I did think back. I couldn't remember because they only like I was at my brother's wedding like 30 years ago, whatever the hell that was, and we got swords.
Which is unique.
Yeah, we got like Civil War, like cavalry swords or something, and God, they were like engraved with something in Latin. I honestly don't remember. You know, it was one of those, and I have no idea whatever happened to it. Like it got all like a year later, it was completely rusted. I no idea, but I was like, that's the one I do remember. That's like the one groomsman gift that I got. I was like, it had to be something.
It's memorable. I'll give it that.
Was it? Because I was like, wait, this.
Is it better than my vest that I took?
I like that you made your own groomsman present by just stealing something that you wore for the wedding.
Yeah. I just held on to it. I was told I had to wear a vest, and I never got my groomsman flask.
See, I gave my guys fancy engraved pocket watches. Like, and then one I thought was like doing like custom Jordans or like Air Force. Someone said they did Air Force One.
Jordans are cool.
Like, that makes sense. Or, like, a watch. Like,
yeah, wear them in the wedding.
Yeah, you're not doing, like, Rolexes or whatever, but, like, I have a Shinola watch, like, Filson. Like, that would be, you know, if you got, like, a deal on that. Jokic got all of his Serbia Olympic bros, he got them Rolexes.
That's nice.
Yeah, he dropped $400,000. I think they were, like, 30, 35 apiece.
Be wasted on me.
That is.
I've never worn a watch.
Well, you're the youth. Yeah.
You could sell it.
You can't.
Ooh, good idea.
By the way, here's the other thing. If someone gives you a really nice gift like that, you can't sell it.
Ever?
You just can't. Ever. You just can't. That's
20 years later, you haven't talked to him in 15.
I guess pawn it?
Maybe then. But you got to admit, that'd be like the douchiest thing ever.
Horrible.
If someone gave you a Rolex watch.
I don't like it when guys hawk their World Series rings. Like, yeah. I think that's lame.
If someone gives you a Rolex watch as a gift and you turn around and sell it, I'm sorry. I think you're a terrible person.
Yeah, that's probably true. Without further ado, it is Friday, August 23rd, and it is time for In the News. I'm your stand-in newsman. Hello, thank you. I would ask you to please be seated, but you already are, most of you, I believe. Let's see. Today on our National Day calendar, ooh, I kind of like this one.
What do we got?
As specialty sandwiches go, I think it's high on the list, is National Cubano Sandwich Day.
Oh, love a good Cubano.
I do, too. Will you, Cubano man?
He's got no
idea. I don't know if I've had one.
Ooh. Yeah, it's usually ham, bacon, pork loin.
Yeah.
It's essentially a three pork sandwich grilled, usually on a sourdough.
There is a good
one. Meat
lovers. Papa Hayes has a nice, or whatever that, what is that place that's attached to it? I never know. Like, it is Papa Hayes, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's attached
Grandpa
to
Hayden's.
It. What?
Grandpa Hayes.
Grandpa Hayes. they have a good Cubano there. Like, and it's always grilled, like a nice little.
And that a good Cubano should be. It should be like panini pressed with like butter, dressed on
maybe
the outside.
Maybe a pickle in there.
Oh yeah, relish. Cubano's got to have a pickle and yellow mustard.
There you go.
It's also National Sponge Cake Day.
I'll eat some sponge cake. Someone brought in like a giant cheesecake earlier today.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. That was an orange dreamsicle cheesecake, which was delightful. And now it's gone. I actually planned on picking at it for a while, but it's no longer with us. Maybe it's made its way to the kitchen. I don't know.
Was it Danny?
Because like, he brought it in.
Yeah. Every time I come in, the amount of food that he brings in for whatever lunch.
It's just a take your lunch to work guy.
It's unbelievable. But that's not like a lunch. It's like a full-on spread. It's like that scene from The Breakfast Club where the guy opens up like an entire shopping bag and just unloads like a week's worth of food. And like I come in today and there's just a whole cheesecake. I was like, what the hell?
At least I don't think that's lunch.
I don't know. I didn't have any, but it looked good.
So as we talked about on the show yesterday, Hood to Coast officially started this morning. I learned that we have teams this year from all 50 states and more than 40 countries participating.
Boy, I'll admit, I had no idea. I thought that was 100% a local thing.
Yeah, same.
I guess it's something that now draws people, or at least it's in its 42nd year, I'm learning. But yeah, members from or participants so from all 50 states so this year.
A team from Delaware.
Well, it may not be a team, but it may be a team that has one person from Delaware. So every state is represented by a participant.
Okay. So I was like, you got how many people have? I'm assuming it's like a team of like 12, 10, 9, 8.
I thought it was less than that. I thought it was like four.
It's all
got to
fit in a van. I think it's like 6 or 7.
Oh, really? I thought it was more than that. I was kind of blown away by the fact that someone from Delaware, like a group of people, were like, let's go to Oregon and run.
Yeah.
Well, Hawaii from and Alaska, the hood too. To the
feels
coast.
Like it's a, feels like it's a lot of excuses just to drink. And I'll state for the record, I don't need an excuse to drink.
Especially not at the beach.
No.
Additionally, have some troubling news to get through. We'll do this first, but you remember the story of an abductor who kidnapped a woman and kept her in a cinder block cell?
I do remember that. Yeah, that thing was creepy as hell.
It was really creepy. So that man's name was Negasi Zuberi, and now that he's on trial, documents have been released that...
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
No. He sketched out plans to, quote, raise an army with captured women. I don't know exactly what that means, but it says that he called it Operation Takeover, and that he quote, sketched out plans for an underground structure targeting women listing characteristics of an ideal victim. So he planned on abducting multiple women, imprisoning them all, and having his own little underground network and nation that he was going to start.
Like an army of super soldiers?
I don't know.
Do like a Captain America? Is he going to like get them all cattle roids, and then wouldn't they just turn on you? You got a bunch of roided up angry women?
It's not exactly clear what these delusions were based in, but those were the details released in the court that
I'm not going to lie. I like the idea of an army of super women. I think that's kind of kick-ass.
Isn't that what Charlie did?
Yeah, same sort of thing. You know, but again, I don't think they were super women. They were just like spies. I'm talking about like an army
angels.
I want like an army of like the U.S. rugby team. I just want my guy out there or my gals out there.
You want Alona Meyer out there?
Yeah, I want her out there. Mayor. I just want her out there just out there like kicking ass. Let's do that. But like, you know, can't kidnap them. Like, they got to come by their own, you know, free will. And the cinder block thing, that's a certain level of crazy that I don't know, like, what level that is, but I think it's somewhere around 11.
Yeah.
I think that goes past 10.
All the way up to 11.
Yeah, that's, well, hopefully he's going to prison for the rest of his life. And the lady got out.
The woman was okay. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to find an update. I mean, I believe he's on trial now, or that basically this information just came out. So let's see. I don't believe he's been sentenced yet. I think that this is going to be an open and shut deal, though.
Someone's saying that he was going to try to have children with him, and those were going to be
that was going to be his army. Like he was going to start his own little civilization underground or something. I mean, just horrible delusions. But yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm glad that they caught the dude, and please just whatever this life sentence. Life sentence, like, can't we do like 9 of those life sentences and we just stack a bunch of those together? And just like, let's get as many life sentences as possible. Just
I'd like him to not be allowed back around us.
Yeah, I just there's some people that you just the membership dues are up, and it's time for you to maybe get out of the club.
And then we've caught a couple creeps. I'll list them off real quick. One Umatilla man has been charged with multiple crimes after he made several hoax phone calls threatening sexual violence against children. So he was calling schools and saying that he was going to do things to kids. He was 20 years old. And he's been charged with receiving and possessing child pornography and making interstate threats. So they've got this guy. He isn't out there anymore, but my goodness.
Can we, how about this bunk bed?
Can he join
just
the other guy?
I was going to say, just like bunk beds?
Get them together?
That's good.
I just like the idea of like maybe like just like a wing. Here, just, you know, we're just going to go over there and don't really need any care. Just like a big room, maybe put a couple hacky sacks in there for entertainment, and then they get a beanbag chair, and then just every so often we slide some food under the door, and after that, I don't really care what happens to you.
Well,
just
I've got one more roommate for them, because we have Craig Douglas Myers, who is a 38-year-old math teacher at Hosford Middle School. He has been arrested and charged on the felony of trying to lure a minor. So we have now teachers.
Well, it's been a real upbeat in the news.
That's why we're going to be done with it real quick and move on to celebrity chefs.
This is not Friday news.
No, it's not. But what I'm telling you is that all three of these horrible men have been caught by authorities, and so they're not on the streets. We're just realizing of their twisted and perverted ways.
And only the one guy actually did any, like he actually...
Right. This guy called.
Yeah, one guy called making threats, and then this guy was attempting to lure but did not successfully.
Good. That's so... Hey, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right? Like, we stopped 2. The third one, we didn't stop, but she got away. So I guess in some ways we can say, you know, 3 for 3. So and again, I like the idea. Just a big sofa sleeper. They can all hang out together, and whatever they do to one another, I don't really care. Just load them all up. Let's go.
I promise it gets better. TriMet is expanding.
Hey!
And... a very beloved Portland chef is coming back with his greatest hits. That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. It is in the news, and we have time for just a couple more stories for you. It feels like TriMet is being used less and less these days, but that's not stopping them from expanding services in Clackamas County.
It has been a while since I've ridden the old TriMet. I used to ride it like to events down at Moda Center. We'd catch the Lloyd Center and ride it on down, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, when I worked at NBC Sports Northwest over on like Southwest 12th, there I would take the MAX into like the Goose Hollow station and walk over, but that's been, I don't know, I guess that's been like 3 or 4 years now, and so I don't know.
If it was a better system, easier and honestly safer and cleaner, like when you go to other places, look, if mass transit works, I'm all for it. It's just, I don't think ours works very well. That, and I don't want fentanyl or to get shanked.
Well, one of these lines you may be just fine on, because they're putting out a new weekday bus line that goes between Lake Oswego and West Lynn daily. So it's going to be for, you know, commuters and. And that seems to make a lot of sense, because there's a lot of people trying to get from that live in one trying to get to the other, and vice versa. Yeah. And then let's see. Then there's another one that's going all the way down to. Now I lost it. Of course.
For hell's sake.
Yeah, it goes all the way down to Oregon City though now. So that is going to. Oh, as I scan the article now that has moved around with ads and whatnot. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Nothing into Vancouver.
Not yet.
Supposedly, when in 800 years when we get the new bridge, supposedly there's supposed to be mass transit on that.
The new bridge where the I-5 one is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, isn't there supposed to be a toll, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that'll be a given. But supposedly that's what torpedoed the last one, was the where the tolls, and they wanted mass transit across it. But, you know, if there was a mass transit that worked, like someone here saying I take it to the Winter Hawk Games from the Sunset Station in Beaverton, 100%. If I could get one over by my house and take a mass transit system, whatever that is, and get down to the Moda Center in a convenient...
It'd be great.
I'd be all about it. You don't have to worry about driving and all that. It's just... I said, especially living over where I live, it's just, you know, across the river is just not really an option.
So this new Line 76, the one that includes Oregon City, is going to go from the Beaverton Transit Center all the way to the Oregon City Transit Center, with stops in West Lynn, Tualatin, Tigard, and Beaverton.
So it's just what the Laco and West Lynn people want, a bus. Hey, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that need that to get around and get to work. But it's weird that we just have such a, like here in the Northwest, and really across our country, we just have such a crappy view of mass transit. But if you go to other countries especially, and certain other cities, it's essential. Like, you can't live in New York without being able to take the transit system. San Francisco with the BART and, you know, like in Chicago, like you just, you can't get by without it. But a lot of times in the U.S., we just crap all over them. And here, I don't think we've ever had a real positive view of the mass transit, which is weird because you would think in Portland that we would have a phenomenal mass transit system and that we would all embrace it. But, you know, no one wants to ride the Fentanyl Express.
Well, we do have a beloved chef coming back to Portland after they've been gone since, I believe, 2020. You're a big wing guy. I am, too.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Pock Pock Wings?
Oh, Pock Pock's delightful.
Yes.
Yeah, so, they shut down COVID.
That's right. So Pock Pock Wings, they had, I think, four different locations, yeah. And all of them shut down in 2020 because of COVID. And and the owner and chef, Andy Ricker, said that the reason for shutting them all down was to try to consolidate the money in hopes that they could reopen the original Division Street location.
Sure.
So that hasn't happened yet. Andy went back to Thailand to hone some more cooking skills, but now he's back, and he's running a special event at the restaurant Jeju. Have you been there yet?
That is delightful.
Is it? Okay, yes. I've heard many good things. I've seen some stellar pictures.
The BTJ is a big fan of that. And it is good. It's high dining, but it's not it's not fancy.
Makes sense why I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's delightful.
But this it'll be a two-night only event, September's 8th and 9th, and we'll feature a fixed menu, five courses, and we'll play some of the hits from his Pock Pock days.
Right.
So I will not be in town that weekend. I'll be gone for my sister's wedding, but absolutely would be on my try to get a ticket list because those Pock Pock wings are probably my favorite Asian wings I've ever had.
Yeah, and Jeju is, we went there for our anniversary. Like, I think we went there like 2 years ago. We went. It's just, it's really, really good. And they do the whole menu tasting thing and everything is phenomenal.
Is it a
really, really cool spot?
Is it fusion or is it one specific type of Asian cuisine?
No, I think it's a fusion.
Okay.
Like you get a little bit of, and I think, you know, same thing. They just come out with the course, you know, it's the set menu, show up and there it is and everything we had. And normally I'm pretty skeptical about that. It was absolutely delightful. That place was kick ass.
If you got the time and you got the coin, go get yourself some Pock Pock wings.
It's Korean. I mean, it certainly is Korean, but I think there is a lot of different influences that get mixed in there.
That's all the time we have for In the News. Coming up next, your Hot 5 at 5 right here on 1080 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.